So it's been a little while since we had a guest on the Hometown Sounds podcast, but today we have a featured performer. You want to introduce our special guest?
I do. This is Jack, the Portuguese water dog. He doesn't have much to say because he's got a pretty full mouth right now. You can hear him having his dinner. And we're going to play a species-related song. This is called Wolf Bite by Bat Fangs
on the Hometown Sounds podcast.
Welcome back to the Hometown Sounds podcast. We show you how DC bites.
I'm Paul Vodra.
I'm Tony Pareko.
And that was Wolf Bite.
See the joke there? Did you get that?
It's great. It's a great joke, man. That was Wolf Bite, the only song currently out by Bat Fangs. That's a lot of animal biting creepiness going on with both of that stuff. That, in case that sounded kind of familiar, that's Betsy Wright. She's in X-Hex.
And she wears denim jackets so well. Uh-huh. And see, here's the thing. I am now so into denim jackets because I am all up on the enamel pin game.
Oh.
You know, the goofy, you know, like I walk around with like a hashtag pizza, like mm-hmm. combo enamel
yep.
pin.
Yep.
The other one is my favorite is the hashtag and the shruggy guy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. He's legendary.
Oh, I mean, he sums up my experience in life. Really?
Yep. So that band also has Laura King playing drums. She lives in Carrboro, North Carolina.
Also, Laura King contributed Bat Whispers on that track, according to their Bandcamp page.
Love the Bandcamp credits. You can pick up that song for $1 on their Bandcamp page. Their next DC area show is going to be Sunday, June 25th at the Black Cat. No other details about that yet, but you should mark that on your calendar. That song, by the way, a love song for a werewolf. according to
what, like, what could that mean? And also, if you're a werewolf, what is your love life about? Like, do you have something weird going on once a month with the full moon? Like,
yeah.
Is that when your open relationship kicks in?
Oh, man.
Let's step away from the werewolf loving.
That's right.
And maybe play another track.
That sounds like a good idea. This is somebody that frequently collaborates with Betsy Wright playing music live. This is Mellow Diamond.
Of a shame.
Where the Heart Grows, a new single from Mellow Diamond. We've never actually played Mellow Diamond on the podcast before. We've played Janelle and Anthony a couple of times. We've not played the solo moniker of Janelle Lippin. She is an eclectic cellist, amazing musician. After struggling to find a label to put out two releases last year, she founded her own label called Wedderburn Records and put out both her self-titled album and an EP called Songs for Voice and Mellotron. Now, she has just released a new album called American God, which is very well timed because my new favorite television show is American Gods on Stars. It's really good.
I will say that you are in the realm of TV that's beyond HBO.
It is.
Or AMC, or I don't even know how to get that stuff. There was a Marc Maron special out last year on Epix, which I'd never heard of.
That's pretty obscure. Stars is like a level above Epix and below AMC and HBO, definitely. And you kind of like, it's one of those like cable channels that not everybody gets, and you could subscribe to it yourself. And this is the thing, they put out this show American Gods, and now everybody has subscribed to it, including me. It's such a great show. Doesn't really relate to Mellow Diamond, but it is a nice little aside. And perhaps she named it, you know, in some way to capitalize on the new show. Probably not. Your next chance to catch Janelle live around this part of the world is going to be on Friday, May 19th at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore for an event called Amplify, which seeks to create socio-political movement among musicians, the purpose of which is to unite like-minded players in using their talents to support groups of people who need help in the wake of the current administration. I mean, this sounds just like a lot of the stuff that I've been seeing in my concert calendar in D.C. There's all these benefit shows. People want to go rock out, and they want to feel like they're making a difference, which is really cool. She'll be performing with her group Ensemble Volcanic Ash, which got its name from that Icelandic volcano that erupted back in 2010 and grounded flights all over Europe. Definitely really cool to see live, too. Highly recommended.
Okay, topic change. Paul, I want to talk to you about those Facebook color things.
Yeah.
One, I can't figure out how to do it. It doesn't show. I mean, it's not about me being dumb. They appear on neither my laptop nor my phone. But also, I just feel like, oh, you get to click a button and make your thing look bigger, and so everyone sees it, and whatever thing that's on your mind.
Right.
Yeah, I like to be clever. I feel like that takes away the cleverness aspect of things.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely, you know, just brings attention to it no matter what it is even. And most of the stuff I see is not very creative or attention getting on its own.
I think I saw one of those last week that said, "What do you think of Radiohead these days?"
Yep. And I saw one just yesterday, and the question was, "Do you AC/DC?" And I responded, "Only DC."
Nailed it. Oh, that's a high five. Yes.
Thank you. Speaking of DC, let's hear another song.
This is Humble Fire. new single from Humble Fire. Tale is in.
Humble Fire is Dave Epley on guitar, Zach Rothman on bass, Nefra Faltas on vox and keys, and Jason Errol on drums, with the legendary Louis Weeks on electronics and production. Their new album is called Builder, and it is out on July 14th. You can pre-order it now on CD, vinyl, or digital. And when you do, you get this new single right now. And if you are really into that single and would like to celebrate its release, you can do so on Thursday, May 11th at the Black Cat with Sean Barna and Crushin' Pain. And the last time we played Homo Fire on the podcast was way back in October of 2013, where we were featuring their debut album, The Great Resolve. And you can still grab that for whatever price you want on their Bandcamp page.
They also have a music video for this song, Talisman, which is pretty amazing.
We just watched it while we were listening to the song before you guys heard us again. And it was, yeah, really amazing, amazing video. Really interesting choreography and interesting video tricks with that choreography. And I feel like we shouldn't say more. We should just tell people to go watch that video and all the other really awesome music videos that we feature at the website, hometownsoundsdc.com. And now let's hear another song. Tony, who do we got next?
Julian. Was some lovely indie veteran pop from the likes of Julian. The track is called Drawn 2. Julian is the music project of Julia Livey, and her bandmate Cash Langdon plays guitar and drums and everything else on that. That track was recorded somewhere in Northeast DC with Thomas Rossi. It's a single track on Julian's Bandcamp page that is a pay what you want download.
It came out just this past Friday, May 5th. She also works at Common Ping Pong with a lot of other cool DC musicians. And I will also note that in the tags for her Bandcamp, one of the tags is songs about dogs. That's a theme apparently in this podcast. I don't think that song was about dogs. But I guess she has some other songs about dogs that you should go check out if you like dogs as much as we do.
Paul, you went on a vacation recently.
Yeah, I decided I hadn't been anywhere really like outside of DC in a while. So I solicited some input on Facebook and decided to take a solo vacation to the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas.
How'd it go? We got to compare and contrast experiences.
I think they are very different because you went during South By and I went for a random weekend in late April. So it was, yeah, not nearly as crazy as when you went. I stayed at an Airbnb kind of close to downtown.
How was your experience with an Airbnb?
It was good. It was close to downtown, but I did not rent a car, so I walked a bunch, and I really kind of wish that I'd rented a car. The Airbnb was great. It definitely makes you feel more like you're a local crashing at somebody's place versus just being in a hotel somewhere. So I definitely liked that feeling. And I went to, under your direction, Tony, I went to Cheer Up Charlie's.
How was it?
It was good.
Did you see why I liked it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic place. No cover charge on a random Thursday night. I saw a really fun band called Buenos Diaz, which was really great. Also, $3 beers at like 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. That is not something that I was used to. I was like, really?
$3? That's a deal and a half.
I know. It was fantastic. So that was really good. Friday, I went to The Broken Spoke. Are you familiar with that place at all?
Don't know that one.
It is an old place. It was open in like 1964 and hasn't changed at all. And it's like a dance hall and people are two-stepping. And the Bastard Sons of Johnny Cash were playing. And they played for like 3 hours and did not stop. And so there was a lot of dudes with big old cowboy hats and a lot of dancing. It was fun. It was really great. I went to Eeyore's birthday party, which I did not plan my trip around.
What is Eeyore's birthday party? It sounds glum as hell for a party, right?
I think this was the 54th annual Eeyore's birthday party. And it's basically a bunch of hippies get together in a park and be really, really hippie. So the costumes were encouraged. There was a really big drum circle that I put on Facebook Live for a little while. There were some bands playing. There was some nudity. There was some tattoos. There were kids. It was fun. It was a good old time. Hula hooping, some girl on stilts. It was really hot. I think I would have enjoyed it more if it had been not quite so hot, but it was definitely a fun time.
It sounds like a mini Burning Man.
It was kind of with less like desert and creativity and whatnot, but it was definitely like this is the annual, like, everybody that tries to keep Austin weird by being hippies all came out and celebrated that together.
Oh, so you can make a real effort to keep a place weird. That's the way you're kind of making it sound.
Like, kind of, yeah. There was some of that. I went to a bookstore that had no employees.
What?
It was completely volunteer run, and it was like full of zines and weird political, like, newspaper kind of things, and, you know, very pointed literature about class and race and stuff like that.
And consent.
Yeah. And it was definitely very, very strange. But it was, you know, it was cool. It was one of the things keeping Austin weird, which was great. I also went to Antone's, which was sort of a classier club downtown, and saw Bruce Robison, who has written songs for Tim McGraw and George Strait.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, this is sort of an area of expertise for me. My mom used to sell country western wear, so she would just bone up on all the pop country.
Yeah.
And that serves me well now, because now I get guitar students who want to learn that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I got you covered, man.
Yeah, that was stuff that I was not familiar with at all, but it was definitely really cool. He was really, like, definitely like top-notch professional musician, but also like really appreciative of the audience that was there. I love seeing that sort of thing. Very classy. And I also went to a place called the Saxon Pub and saw the Resentments, which was kind of a weekly jam between a few different local musicians, one of which is well known for being in the band Fastball. If you remember that song My Way from like the late 90s.
No, it's called The Way.
The Way, thank you. And
that was one of my karaoke jams back when I was on a karaoke streak back in the day.
Man, anyone can see the road. And apparently Fastball just put out a new album.
Hey.
Yeah, so it was great. I had a good old time. So, yeah, how does that compare to your experience in Austin?
I don't know. It both sounds like we just saw some cool live music.
That is true.
I don't know how much of my experience I'd call is like bananas or weird. I don't know. Your drum circle nudity on stilts, which actually I'm thinking about being in a drum circle naked on stilts.
It'd be very, very difficult.
You just got to put that drum on top of something, I think.
I guess. That's how it would go.
All right. We're going to move this show a little bit along. We have new music from a band called Double Motorcycle.
You're gonna love this.
I can write a record for the reasons to tear you down. I gotta talk.
I could write a record full of reasons to tear you down.
And the name of that track is The Record by Double Motorcycle. Double Motorcycle, I don't really know what a double motorcycle is. Are they on top of each other? Are they like connected side by side?
I'm picturing them front to back, actually, which would be really dumb. Like you could go forward or backward or both.
I mean, I'm also just kind of thinking about it in terms of, hey, let's take something awesome and then double it.
Yeah, totally. Double Motorcycle is Joe Gillette and Colin McGuire, two guys from one of our favorite bands who is sadly not with us anymore, C-Knuckle. And if you love C-Knuckle as much as we do, you definitely heard some C-Knuckle riffs and styles in that song. Their new self-titled EP is available on their Bandcamp, so check out our show notes and follow the link to spend $7 and get that gem in your life. You can also go to C-Knuckle's Bandcamp and get their album, which we love, for whatever price you want. So totally do that.
Double Motorcycle's new EP was recorded in an abandoned warehouse by Derek Salazar. It's really cool you could get things to sound so good in a warehouse, which I would think is just going to be like a mess to record in.
I know. It sounds ridiculous. So you should definitely check them out at the second annual Frederick Music Festival called The Thing, put on by Frederick Playlist. That's going down on Saturday, May 20th. It's 60-plus bands in 16 venues all day and all night, centered around the 200 East Art House space. And some of the bands include Drop Electric, Silent Old Mountains, Big Hoax, Super Lucky Elephant.
That's a band name.
Good Ol' Ernie, and Death Ray Tango.
I mean, I will say that I'm actually totally okay with non sequitur band names that sound like they've been put together by a Twitter word aggregator.
Yeah, some of those bands I actually know, and some of those bands I just picked out because I like the names. That does sound like a really, really cool all-day festival, though. I'm seriously thinking about going to check that out. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So if you like this and us and all this great music, you should subscribe to it in your favorite podcast app. We should follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The handle is Hometown Sounds. The website is hometownsoundsdc.com, where you can check out the podcast and check out all of really awesome music videos that are happening in DC. The email address is dj@hometownsoundsdc.com. So drop us a line and let us know what your favorite DC music is that we haven't touched on yet, or how much that you like Tony. And really the important thing, though, is to support all the musicians that you've heard on this podcast by buying their music.
And saying how much you like Tony. No, JK, but do that. And seeing them play live.
All around town. Really, seriously, though, go buy some music. Like, it makes you feel really good because people don't buy music anymore. They just stream it. They think that, like, oh, I'm paying for Spotify. Or even that, like, no, I got it. This Amazon Music thing that's totally included. But, man, when you, like, support them, like, they get emails that, like, somebody bought their thing and, like, it's really fun.
Oh, I remember a band that we played on our show a few years back, and my paying $1 to download their song, they made a Facebook post in which they wrote, "We just got our first online sale."
Yes.
And then had a picture of their lead singer holding a dollar bill, and it was the dollar bill that I symbolically spent.
See, that's what you get. It's amazing. And the Bandcamp thing makes it totally easy to do and really fun. So totally go do that. We have one more song for you on this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. This is Tristan Welsh. He is an ambient musician from Northern Virginia. I'm pretty sure that I found him looking at some of those massive compilations that we have been hyping from Versus Records that were the benefit compilations with like 40 plus people.
Big and beautiful.
Yeah. And like some of them were DC, some of them were not. And I would click through all of them to see who is it that I don't know about yet. Tristan Welsh was one of them. And we followed him and he just put out this new thing. He likes to call his compositions heavy ambient movements. We're going to play the fourth cut in his six-song release called Haunting New York City. This is a $5 download on his Bandcamp. It is also available as a limited edition CD and flush mount photo book, which of course has a whole story behind it. This is a memorial project by Tristan to honor his late grandmother, Juanita Crabby, who was a talented artist and spirit. Crabby moved from D.C. to New York City to pursue her passion in the arts. And after she died, Tristan found photographs from the 80s and early 90s of the city. Tristan edited this down into a book of photos that accompany the release of these ambient pieces that were inspired by her.
That's a really cool tribute.
I love this. It's amazing. Also, we want to mention that a place that supports Tristan and other musical stuff like this is called Rhizome. It's a cool DIY house venue in Tacoma Park dedicated to experimental and non-commercial music. I recently went there for the first time to see Insect Factory and Super Silver Haze on a Friday night show, and it was packed and it was really cool. They are currently running a fundraising campaign through Fundly during the month of May. If you are a fan of this scene, throw them some bones. And if you're not familiar with them, totally go check out a list of their upcoming events and hit one up, because they have some different kind of stuff. They have some tributes to African music. They have some like teach-in stuff. Like, they're doing some really weird things because it's Tacoma Park, or it's the People's Republic of Tacoma Park, as they like to call it. So I love that this thing is there. It always seems like the experimental music needs a home. It's not commercial. It is definitely not the stuff that's making a lot of money and bringing a lot of audiences. But the people that love it really love it. And they always go find a new place, a new home for this. It was Pyramid Atlantic for a long time, right? With the Sonic Circuit stuff. It was Union Arts. It was Union Arts for a little while when that was happening. And now it seems like Rhizome is the home of that. So really awesome. And Tristan Welsh actually just played there a couple of nights before we're recording this. So this is the kind of stuff that you want to go check out there. This is Haunting New York City, track 4. And this is the Hometown Sounds podcast. Thanks very much, Tony.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you next time.